Good afternoon again, and I'm glad that you are over here. I know that after lunch it is difficult to go to a session, but you are the brave ones. You are here, and I welcome you to this session. This session is Stemming the Tide of Chronic Diseases Through Social Determinants of Health. I'm Gopal Sankaran, and I'll be the moderator of this session. We have four presentations, and three of them are going to be excellent. You know which three are going to be excellent, okay. The fourth one, we don't know about that yet, so we'll see. But this session is going to be dealing with the social determinants of health, because we know that social determinants of health play a very important role in the causation and management of non-communicable diseases. And due attention needs to be paid to the structural and individual level factors, both within communities and nations, in terms of determining who is at risk for NCDs, who gets the diseases, the impact of these conditions, and how best to prevent and manage these conditions, particularly when we are looking at countries which don't have the same kind of resources as some of the high-income nations. So theoretical framework will be complemented by practical strategies from the field for effectively addressing this increasing global health problem. So that's the sets the background for the presentations for today. And what I will do is I'll introduce the speakers as they come to make the presentation, and we'll hold off the questions till the end. And that way, everybody, the person who is the last one, is not constantly looking at the clock to see whether he or she has enough time. So we'll do that. The first presenter today is going to be Dr. Padmini Murthy. Dr. Padmini Murthy is the person who is... I'm pausing for the other speaker to come in, so now I can say who's right in the middle. She's right in the middle, Dr. Padmini Murthy. Dr. Padmini Murthy is a physician, and she's an activist, and she has been the recipient of several awards. She's the NGO co-representative of the Medical Women's International America to the United Nations. Her book, Women's Global Health and Human Rights, was published in 2009. It's a popular text in a number of colleges of public health as well as in medical schools. Murthy is the recipient of the 2009 Mid-Career Award from the International Health Section. She is the APHA Chair on Women's Rights, and she is also the Governing Counselor in the International Health Section. As if these things are not enough, she also is the Program Chair for International Health Section. So I welcome Dr. Murthy to the podium, and our presentation will be Chronic Diseases in Women, Their Continued Neglect and Treatment to Stop It. Dr. Murthy.
Thank you so much, Dr. Sankaran, and thank you, everybody, for coming here. There are so many sessions, and we're really glad you came here. Presenter disclosures, no disclosures. Okay. So basically, the objective of my presentation will be, it'll focus on the unique challenges women face, because as we know today in the world, 60% of people have suffered from chronic burden of chronic diseases. And women are disenfranchised, and we'll see why this is the case. And my presentation also hopes to discuss the cost-effective interventions and tools such as advocacy, because advocacy and women's empowerment plays a strong role in women fighting the pandemic of chronic diseases, which they fall prey to. So basically, NCDs, or non-communicable diseases, or chronic diseases, as they're called, primarily the diseases are listed under this, are cardiovascular diseases, cancers, chronic respiratory diseases, and diabetes. Interestingly, mental health is not listed, but mental health also is very much a chronic disease, as we know. And according to the latest statistics of WHO this year, the NCDs are responsible for 63% of all deaths worldwide. So when we think of AIDS, we think of malaria, we don't realize that these are slowly creeping up. So whenever we think of strategies, we need to be focusing both on the infectious diseases and the chronic diseases. And I just wanted to say one thing, is that a lot of the infectious diseases such as HIV/AIDS have now become chronic. So it's like really the whole paradigm of the so-called box we put the chronic diseases into is kind of changing. And If the major risk factors for all the NCDs were eliminated, according to the WHO, who says that 3/4 of heart disease, stroke, and type 2 diabetes will be prevented, and even cancer. So this really shows us what is happening with globalization or urbanization, you know, as glocalization, call it by any name, but these are some of the challenges we face. And unfortunately, you know, before when we all went to medical school or when during our training, it would be like, oh, it's a, you know, it was like a status symbol. I remember growing up in India, like it was a status symbol if somebody had diabetes. That means the person was rich. And they were able to afford the high calorie food. But that has drastically changed in the, you know, in the 3 decades or so, because more than 90% of these premature deaths occur in low and middle income countries. That means they just don't occur in the rich folks living in these countries. They know no social strata or economic, you know, level. So this is something we really need to be thinking about. And what are some of the risk factors? As we know, it's tobacco use. And I don't know how many of you are familiar. A lot of people smoke their cigarettes or cigars or locally made rolls of tobacco by sticking the lighted end inside their mouth, especially in people who are fishermen and women in certain parts of India. This is a major issue because not only is it associated with heart disease or stroke, but also with a lot of oral cancers. Yes, because they're out in the cold for a long time fishing, so they stick that in apart from chewing what they call, you know, the betel nut or the leaves or the tobacco leaves. Unhealthy diet, high salt consumption. Physical inactivity, it's easy to say exercise, but if you're living where people are shooting at each other, where will you get your physical activity? In dodging the bullet? No, seriously, I'm from New York, and we have so many cases in some areas of New York. So you say, oh yeah, you kids have to exercise. But if, you know, the gang war. So again, when we're looking at all these, we also look at the socioeconomic status. And yesterday, I think Sir Michael Marmot, when he was talking about all the social determinants and all the disparities, these all fit in so well. Urbanization, with urban slums, again, Slumdog Millionaire, they're not paying us to have this panel or talk about it, full disclosure here. But that is how it is. People don't have time to exercise because they don't have the place. And they're so busy holding 2 and 3 jobs to put food on the table. And then gender disparity. That's a major issue which contributes to the growing burden of chronic diseases. And poor education, we know, cultural practices of, like, you know, when you have a visitor coming, you have to give them food dripping in oil or clarified butter because that's what you are honoring them. But hey, you're slowly killing them by clogging up their arteries. That's a different story. And then again, lack of access to health services, including antenatal care. One of the reasons I wanted to talk about this is because so many women who are pregnant have other complications of chronic diseases like hypertension and diabetes, which are often not diagnosed because they don't even go for their checkup. So it's like really, and as we know, sometimes women also have postpartum blues, which can get to postpartum depression and psychosis. But just to let you know, these are some of the factors. And then I like this quote by the present Secretary General, His Excellency Ban Ki-moon. He says, each year millions of women and children die from preventable causes. They are not mere statistics. They are people with names and faces. So this kind of fits in to what the burden, the extent of global burden, these women and young girls are facing. And non-communicable diseases affect the life of women right from the girl child, from the cradle to the grave. Because what happens is if a woman is malnourished, she gives birth to a baby who's malnourished and has delayed milestones resulting in physical and cognitive developmental delays. So basically, these children are starting life at a disadvantage. So, and women who have pregnancy, untreated pregnancy, have an increased depth of maternal and infant morbidity and mortality, and also diabetics give birth to large babies causing, both maternal and infant trauma. Okay. So this, I really like the colors of this because, and it's not red because there are no red socks in this. I think everything is the same color. I think we've had an overdose of red socks. Anyway, I'm from New York, so that explains it. I don't want to get lynched getting out of here. So projected main causes of death worldwide, we can see of all ages. This is from 2005. This is really a great graph, again, from information from the WHO. You can see that cardiovascular diseases, cancer, chronic respiratory diseases, and other chronic diseases and diabetes, you can see the number of cases which can be attributed to the whole spectrum we call non-communicable diseases. And what are some of the issues we have? For example, when we are looking at NCDs and socioeconomic disparities, you can see the arrow when it's showing the globalization, urbanization, and aging. You can see the alcohol use, tobacco use, and all these issues, how they're all interconnected. And the other thing I want to tell you is, when we talk to people, we go like, oh, you have to eat healthy, but when you're earning less than maybe $5 a day, how can you eat healthy? Because what you get, the food from McDonald's or something else, a fast food chain, is like, it's cheaper and it fills you up. You cannot afford to buy food which is healthy. So again, unfortunately, we can talk about eating healthy and eating only the, you know, the best food, organic food, but only if you can afford to do so. So definitely, not only is it access if fresh food is available or healthy food is available, or also if you can afford to eat this food. So it kind of ties into all this. And if you're not aware of this, what's going to happen? So this is something we really need to be looking at. And I really like this map, because it really shows us as to the total number of death rates from non-communicable diseases among women. And you can see in some areas of the world how it's greater than 800 per 100,000 population. So again, if you look at the richer countries and if you look at the middle income and the lower income countries, you can see how the prevalence of NCDs varies so much. And the 10 leading causes of death in females, you can see how it ranks down. And they have put the neuropsychiatric conditions. It's interesting. They're they're listed under the 10 leading causes of deaths among women, but not among, when you're talking about the spectrum of diseases which are called by the name of non-communicable diseases. Now, this is the scary part, that women and men are equally affected by cancer, but the mortality is so much higher for women. And these are all global statistics. And it's interesting that breast and lung cancers are really high, followed by colorectal, cervical, and stomach cancers. Now, why do you think lung cancer is increasing? One is also maybe because women are smoking, but two, there was a study in China a couple of years ago where they found women who are cooking using the solid fuels are very prone to getting a higher risk, or more prone for a higher risk of lung cancer. So this is also another reason. Yes, smoking, but also pollution, more than pollution, long hours, you're hunched over those fuels to cook, you have an increased risk to get this. And again, in 2020, it says that an estimated 1.7 million women will be diagnosed by breast cancer. So 26% increase. Do you think it's because this many number of women get cancer or because the screening has increased? It could be both. And again, if we look at it, in Latin America and Asia, it's a little different because more women die from different types of cancers. CVD is a number one killer of women. And then even COPD is a major issue, which I just talked about. Again, 50% of the world's population uses solid fuel, so this is a big risk. And again, asthma is a major problem among women and children. And just to talk briefly about diabetes is the ninth leading cause of death in women globally. And the biggest challenge we have is also addressing gestational diabetes, because we don't even have, these women don't even have access. And in many countries, as we know, the first time a woman goes in for a checkup, there's not even enough of, what shall I say, the infrastructure in place to test her for other issues. So just to talk a little, everything is not pessimistic. So I just wanted to talk about this program, which is really nice, in Egypt, where they're holding sports and learning sessions for school, for out-of-school girls. And then girls are given the opportunity to play, because what is happening, it's also giving them healthy exercise, the right to exercise, and also looking at their human rights to say that just because you're girls, you needn't exercise. So this has become really popular, and there are quite a few pockets, this Ishraq program, as it's called, which is being replicated. And then again, some of the issues is cervical cancer. And I just wanted to tell you that in Thailand, that, you know, when they started this free mobile screening program, they identified more high-risk cases. So again, as you can see, it's self-explanatory with the survey after this, that the coverage for cervical cancer screening from 20% went up to 70%. So these are some of the strategies of looking at these issues. So what are the recommendations? We need to really have a multi-pronged approach when we are looking at this. And then women and girls actually play a key role, because they need to be partners, and we involve men too at the table to make sure that they come up with preventive strategies which are both beneficial, can be easily replicated in the community. And also, they need to be culturally sensitive strategies. And we need to have, this is very, very important, we need to have the gender inclusive healthcare systems to address the special needs of women. And also, one of the biggest things which experts have talked about is to integrate the NCD preventive programs into maternal health care programs. So when a woman comes for her checkup, we need to train the healthcare worker, if it's not a physician, but a nurse or a, you know, a community health worker, to check for other issues and take the history to find out if any red flags show up so that she can be followed up. And also, we need to have specifically gender-focused research on non-communicable diseases, and also incorporate the gender sensitivity training into the curricula of health professionals. So I think this is really important. So when we look at, in conclusion, non-communicable diseases, we also need to look at the human rights aspect.